Weinstein infuses big band celebrations in this heartfelt tribute to the legendary Tony Bennett, bringing his most iconic songs to life in a symphony of sound. Friday, October 4th at 8 p.m., tickets and info available at theluckman.org and kpfk.org.
Coming at you from the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway all the way down to the gorgeous beaches of Malibu and beyond. We're the Car Show. I'm Michelle Spencer. I'm your co-host this week. Mark is away on journalistic adventures in Milan and the rest of Europe, but he will be back next week. So we hope Mark has a great time. In the meantime, I am joined by Ricardo Rodriguez Long, and he is not only an automotive journalism veteran, he broadcasts on other channels in both English and Spanish. He's the host of Garaje Latino on the Believe Network in its 20th year. And he's the current president of Hispanic Motor Press.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for that introduction. Oh, my God, my ego is full. My head is going through the microphone here. But thank you very much for staying with us. The Car Show, over 50 years on KPFK. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, if you have a car, you can donate a car that's been sitting in the backyard for a long time. One of those projects that will never end, like myself. I have a few of those. Probably will end up as a donation for KPFK. So please, help us to stay on the air, and KPFK supports a lot of community programs that are invaluable. So, true. Michelle, so many things to talk about. There's always so many events.
Yes, even though summer's supposedly wrapping up, that does not mean that the Southern California car calendar has slowed down. And as we say every week, even though we make all our announcements, please make sure that you check before you head out or get your car all polished and ready to show that your event is still going on. I mean, check weather conditions. You might even want to check with the website because of the fires to see if anything has been moved, either the date or the location. So that's our advisory. And the first thing we have up on our calendar is the California Hot Rod Reunion. And this is going to be October 25th through 27th, 2024.
Yeah, we're a month away from that. And it's going to be at a very famous place. Famous, yes, Famoso Drag Strip.
Oh,
it's right outside Fresno, and it's a historical place. If you have never been to one of these hot rod reunions, it's something that you will really enjoy, because the whole, not just the hot rod community, but also some dragsters, and we're talking vintage dragsters from the 50s and 60s, go to this event and they do a couple of runs. It's a wonderful event. A lot of nostalgia, a lot of retro vehicles. A great atmosphere. It's going to be happening at the Famoso Drag Strip just outside Fresno. So also, if you have not visited the museum, the NHRA Museum, I believe the Wednesday meetings are still going on, Michelle, don't you think?
I think they are. I mean, the Wally Parks NHRA Museum is over there at the Pomona Fairplex, right? Beautiful place, lots of great cars and hot rod history inside. And by the way, why are we mentioning this? Because the Hot Rod Reunion will be a benefit for Wally Parks NHRA Motorsports Museum.
That's great.
So if you want to get tickets and help that cause, go to famosodragstrip.com/hotrodreunion.
Now that you have put that on your calendar today, hey, you can still make it to the Route 66 Cruising Reunion right on Euclid Avenue in Ontario. It started yesterday. They had a wonderful sort of a rock concert. People are telling me there are almost 1,000 cars registered for the event. So this is going to go all day today until, you know, late afternoon. All type of cars, you know, even Model Ts, Woodies, lots of Impalas, Hot Rods, Chargers, Daytonas, you name it, it's there. I mean, 1,000 cars, that's a lot of cars. And last night they had Grand Funk Railroad. Oh, my God.
I even have a record
from them. Jesus, I'm old. And tonight, Ambrosia it's plain. And I believe the guitar player Orianti nice. As well. So you still have time to go there. Again, Route 66 mm-hmm. cruisingreunion.com. I believe the event is free itself. So check out Route 66 cruisingreunion.com. Yes, it is.
Okay. What's going on at the Saratoga Museum?
Unfortunately, I don't have it clear, but it's still going on. A lot of the vehicles have been sold already because the city was involved. The mayor had this big speech on Wednesday about all the goodness that this museum has done for the youth, since they use most of the fundraisers to help the youth. But unfortunately, pretty much everything that it was inside the Saratoga Museum has been put on for sale, so which indicates to me that maybe it's the end of this wonderful museum. And something that I've noticed is that, unfortunately, is this a sign? I mean, I noticed in the last 3 or 4 months, a lot of private collections are going through auctions. And these are not, you don't really notice unless you're really looking for this thing. But it's perhaps the demographics have changed. Perhaps, you know, the old guys like myself, you know, little by little, we're leaving, you know, for the next world. And it looks like our treasures are not the treasures of the next generations, Michelle. What do you think?
Yes, that's probably what's happening. The boomers, right? Right? The boomer generation is aging. We were the ones who really were into cars.
Yes.
We got everyone else into it.
That's right. So I've seen now the Toyota Supras going for close to $100,000 and Toyota Corollas from the 1970s in the $50,000, $60,000 range. And I just, you know, and I see Ferraris going for that money. Oh, definitely things are changing. Not that, just things are changing, which is great. Another event that is going on today and tomorrow, it's a little bit further away, but it's always good to travel. These short weekend trips are great. You can make it to Santa Maria. The Santa Maria Airport is having the Central Coast Air Fest. It starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow. It's going on today, this afternoon, so you still have time. It's happening at the Santa Maria Airport, which is 3217 Terminal Drive, Santa Maria. There is a ticket charge of $35, but that includes the parking. Lots of interesting airplanes. So that's something that kids always like. And I always encourage parents to take your kids to car shows and air shows. These are the engineers of tomorrow. So once they see an Osprey airplane, once they see an F-35C, an F-35 warplane, they go, oh, I want to work on that. And so they might be technicians or engineers of the future. So take advantage of that. Again, Central Coast Air Fest going on right now and tomorrow at the Santa Maria Airport. Michelle.
Yes, go to centralcoastairfest.com if you would like to get your tickets to go on the 22nd. And then you've got, if you want to go to Button Willow, they've got vintage racing going on.
That's another place to take the kids.
Yes.
Show them what real cars, you know, how were the real cars and the people that drove them. Always a great atmosphere. People are very happy to share their stories, their cars. You can see these cars. I don't want to say racing because vintage, even though it's vintage racing and there's a couple of guys that take it very seriously, I think vintage should be on the spirit of exercising this wonderful machinery that lived through the 40s, 50s, and 60s. You don't want them to be rusting in your garage. It's part of history. And when you see kids and young people going around this car saying, "You driving these? Are you crazy? This is very dangerous." Yes, it is.
Yes.
But it's a lot of fun, Michelle.
It's true. My old dad, he used to do vintage. He called it gentleman racing. And so he had his Porsches and he would go to whatever the track is up there where he used to live by the Redwoods. And I think it was Monterey. He used to do the historics and all that. But yeah, you don't want to crash into somebody who's got a $500,000 car on the track. So,
and that has happened. And I always recall my good friend Frank Alves, a mechanic that has helped me through the years. One time he says, "Ricardo, why are you slowing down at turn one at the speedway? What's wrong with you? Why are you slowing down?" And he's like, "Frank, that wall is not going to move, and I do not want to lose my legs. I have nothing to prove."
Nothing. Exactly. You're not in that mode of, I'm not going to lift until I see God or a checkered flag.
No, no. So going like on that. At Baton Willow right now, we have a vintage racing event put together by the Vintage Auto Racing Association. You can get details at vataracing.com. Baton Willow, the track itself charges $10. You can get there depending where you're in LA. In about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It's a wonderful location for speed, safe, easy to get to. There's plenty of shade, drinks, and you can see the new racetrack that is being built next door. And by the way, there's a huge Tesla supercharger plant. So even if you have an electric car, you can make it to Baton Willow, charge your car right there while you're watching the races, and come back without hiccup. You take the five freeway all the way north, go through the Grapevine, and then you get off at Lerdo Highway. You can see the racetrack on the left as you drive north. Take the Lerdo Highway, make a left, and you will be pretty much at the entrance of Baton Willow International Raceway. Michelle.
All right. If you're wanting to stay in Costa Mesa or Orange County, guess what? We have the Sand Sports Super Show going on also this weekend through Sunday at the fairgrounds. And this is the biggest and most exciting dune and dirt sports expo in the world, they say. So they're going to have sand rails, ATVs, UTVs, side-by-sides, accessories, apparel, and more. And that runs on Sunday. Well, on Saturday, it goes till 7 p.m. Sunday from 9 to 4. And the one-day tickets sell for $16. Go to sandsportssupershow.com to get your tickets.
Off-roading is such a popular motorsports. A lot of people like to get into the motorcycles, the sun rails, the side-by-sides. There's so many trails in Southern California. I mean, we're blessed. We got mountain roads. We got, you know, forest roads. You know, we got sand dunes, lots of natural trails where you can actually go and enjoy. We even have an off-road park right by Gorman, which is a great facility where you can safely test your skills either on top of, you know, riding a motorcycle or an ATV or a side-by-side. And they have a 4x4 course with different degrees of difficulties that really test more than anything your ego and skills. Vehicles today are amazing. These 4x4 vehicles are amazing. What you're going to see at this show, it's a lot of aftermarket to make your vehicle even better prepared to pretty much go to the moon and come back. So
nice.
If you're into off-roads, make sure you stop by the Sand Sports Super Show at the Orange County Fairgrounds. Michelle, what else is going on?
Looks like we've got some drag racing, Ricardo. Always my favorite. Along with a car show at Irwindale going on September 22nd from 10 to 3. So this is all day on Sunday.
Tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow, if you want to take your vehicle, it doesn't matter if it's race cars or not. How about if you take your own Honda Civic or your Toyota Corolla? See how good you are at timing the lights. The trick on this quarter mile, well, actually, Irwindale is a 1/8 of a mile, but still has the same equipment. The trick for drag racing is just how good your reflexes are. I mean, the light goes on, it's a blink of an eye, and you better be on it because the next competitor is going to be way ahead. Cars today are going over 10,000 horsepower. They just broke the 300 mile an hour barrier in under 3 seconds, I think. This is rockets. But tomorrow you get the opportunity to be actually on track yourself. You can go with your own car or a prepared car or modified car and test it. There you're going to have a lot of fun. And they call it Run with a Winner. The classic car show and drag race at Irwindale Speedway. Irwindale, it's right off the 605 freeway between the 10 and the 210 freeways right by Arrow Highway. So it's very easy to get to. It's right off freeway. Tomorrow starts at 10 a.m. So go to irwindalespeedway.com if you want all the information. Michelle?
Sounds fun. Yes. Also, let's see, what do we have? What's going on? There's more at Willow Springs. Wheel-to-wheel racing, if you want to get next your license.
Week. Yeah, if next week, the deadline is this coming up. Wednesday is the deadline. If you want to take a competition license, even if you're not planning on racing, but if you want to learn how to properly drive a vehicle at high speed. There's nothing better than going to a driving school. And NASA, which is North American Sport Car Association, they have an event this upcoming weekend where they have the competition school. And these things are great. It will sort of, if you take the classes and do the course, they will go to your provisional racing license if that's what you want to do. But more importantly, I think it's, I always encourage people to do a couple of things. One is take a defensive driving course and then take a, go to a racetrack and take a competition driving school, because you want to know how to properly behave and be aware of what's going on when you're driving on the street. And you will realize that because pure inertia and physics, an automobile, once you go over 50 miles an hour, everything changes. Now it's 4,000 pounds moving at, you know, pretty quick, and you think the car is going to stop and it doesn't, and you crash. When you go to a competition school, you start understanding the dynamics of the car, how the car actually stops, how the car turns. And this, eventually, I have to say, my skill at the racetrack saved my life once. We were coming on the 10 freeway on the carpool lane past midnight with my wife, and there was a car that was blocking. It was a car was sideways on the carpool lane in a section of the freeway. There were no lights whatsoever. So I had just an instant to swerve, and I was able to do it just because I was, I had experience of how the car behaves, but I could control it. But you could swerve the car and the car could drag or go into a spin and you could collide with something else. So again, take an advanced competition driver teenagers to explore that, because that can save them. Today, pretty much, they don't teach you how to drive anymore because all the cars are pretty much automated. The transmissions are good. People think that the brakes are good, but no one goes into details of how the car transforms at the speed goes faster and faster. Enough with the racing. Yeah. Let's move on to the next event.
Yes, I was going to say more, but I'll move along. Okay. California Chaos is happening again. There's another item at Famoso Drag Strip. It's called California Chaos, brought to you by Nitro Chaos on the 1/8 mile drag strip, September 27th and 28th. And they have a 32 car field guaranteed with $55,000 in payouts. Wow. If you like to drag race, you should get on that. It might actually help pay for some tires.
It's an appropriate name.
Yeah.
We're living in chaos right now, so why not go
sure.
into Nitro Chaos?
So if you want to register, yeah, go to nitrochaos.com and you can register for that. And
now, there also, is a, go ahead, Michelle.
Oh, I was going to say the Cruising for a Cure is an event down here at the OC Fairgrounds that a lot of people come a long way to go to every year. And this is the one that the fundraiser for prostate cancer, and it's in its 25th year now. It's Saturday, September 28th.
Yeah. And lots of cars. I mean, I remember I have attended these events, and I know there are over 2,500 cars. It's quite impressive, all type of cars, but it's always interesting to see, you know, cars are almost an extension of yourself today, for car lovers, of course. And the things, how people modify their cars and what they do to them, it's always very intriguing to me, because why did you do these? And you get to talk to people. Why did you put these wheels? Or why did you change the engine? Why did you put a pink interior? What's the point? But, you know, it's Cruise for a Cure is happening next Saturday at the Orange County Fairgrounds in Costa Mesa. It's known as the largest one-day car show on the West Coast with over 2,500 cars. So
yeah.
I think the Grand Marshal is going to be Gary Maguire's from the Maguire family, the waxing wax for cars. So that's going to be interesting. I think the admission is about $20 and parking will be $15. But I think enter your car. Go ahead and enter your car. That way you can be in the show. It's going to cost you about the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and do it soon. because they might sell out of spots for show. So And you can also get free prostate testing on site if you're 40 and better, as they say.
So be prepared as you drive your car there.
Put on clean underwear.
Make sure you bring, you know, all the lubes. And we move to the next show.
Yes.
The Summer Stampede Show is coming also next Sunday at the Mayfair Park in Lakewood. Free admission, so that's a good thing to bring the kids again. Car vendors, there is a kids zone, and it's presented by the Greater Lakewood Chamber of Commerce. The Summer Stampede Car Show, I'm sure, is going to feature a lot of pony cars. I don't know why.
Gee, I wonder what makes you think that. And again, this is another very old-timey, been around for 26 years car show, and it'll be well attended, and you will see lots of cool stuff. I know some people that actually grew up in Lakewood, they used to cruise Lakewood Boulevard. That was a big cruising place on the weekends back in the 50s and 60s. So let's, you know, hope that there's a lot of cool stuff that turns out for this. It's at Mayfair Park, which is at 5720 Clark Avenue in Lakewood.
And I hope you wrote all these down, because as you can see, you got plenty of things to do in the next week. You got plenty of places to go. So we better don't tell you anymore.
I know. And I was going to say, every year or every week when we do this, I always think to myself, I should tell people to get their pens and pencils out when we start the calendar. So, but you're right. We need to get on to other things.
Now, always news, interesting news, crazy news. This, you know, it's this wonderful world on wheels, as I call it. But a couple of things happened this week. Anything that you want to start with, Michelle?
Oh, I'm still scrolling down. Okay.
Well, let me ask
there
you.
There were so many events.
I was just listening to an interview with Jim Farley, who is the CEO of Ford Motor Company. Mm-hmm. And I thought, is Ford in trouble? And the reason I asked this question is because after Mr. Farley visited China, he has ordered the engineers to start working hard, very hard, because he has realized that they are way behind on the EV cars. The Chinese market is booming with electric cars of all kinds, all type of technologies, different type of batteries, no problems with the charging systems. And definitely they can do these for a lot less than what it's costing legacy automakers here in the United States. We know that, unfortunately, electric cars in this part of the world are not showing a profit. It's hard to tell exactly how much are they losing, but among the rumors in the media, it's somewhere between $10,000 to $20,000 per car. On the other hand, Chinese automakers are already making a profit making electric cars. Yeah, someone could say, oh, this or that, and they don't meet this regulation, they don't meet that regulation. Well, most of the Chinese cars are meeting all European regulations. And if they meet European regulations, they're very, very close to the American regulations in terms of safety. But the key is that they're excelling in making cars that are very accessible, being electric. I even look at this company, not a Chinese company, but actually a company in Africa that has this new fuel cell car. You can recharge it in less than 5 minutes because it uses hydrogen cartridges. So you don't have to fill out that tank. You can just replay the cartridge. And in many parts of the world, you don't pour the gasoline yourself. You have attendants at the service stations that do these for you, that they fill your gas tank. So for them, it's really not an issue of timing. So there's a lot of technologies that are developing all around the world. And I think Jim Farley saw that, hey, wait a minute. I think we need to get out of our bubble and look at what's going on elsewhere, because things are happening in the electric car world, not as what's happening in the United States. Very, very interesting.
So do you think that he's wanting to just kind of start over? Because, they decided that they're going to scale back on EVs.
Yes, yes. I think they have to sort of rethink the program, and perhaps an F-150 electric truck is not the way to go.
It needs to be cheaper, right?
Yeah, it definitely needs to be more accessible for people to adopt it. And as the price of the cars keep increasing, having electric cars that are very, very pricey don't really help the cost. Now, another report that I was reading sort of related, and this was done by Colin Woodward, something that he published in Jalopnik, and I never know if I pronounce that right. But car loans have passed student loans to become the second largest debt that Americans hold next to their mortgage. How about that? That is concerning. That is very concerning, Michelle.
Very concerning. Again, I feel bad for the young people, but it's just awful. the payments. I know my daughter recently, she had me co-sign on a loan when she told me how much she had to pay per month and how long her lease would, her payment would last, which I think they told her 72 months. Right. Gasp.
Yes.
And so this is standard now.
Yes. And it reminds me of my dealer days. I mean, when I used to manage the dealerships, I mean, we all train all our team to make sure that you just sell the payment. You don't sell the price of the car. You just sell the payment. And now I see cars that really the mathematics don't work anymore. I'm seeing cars at $199, $299, $399 dollars a month on cars that are costing $70,000, $80,000, $100,000. It's like, it's impossible. It's just impossible. The numbers do not add up. So please be very, very careful. If you have a decent car right now, everybody's making very good cars. All the cars can get to 200,000 miles without any problem. Maybe this time is not the best time to be thinking about a new car until we see what is going on with all these loans. 72-month loans, 84-month loans are not for everyone. And yes, you can lease a vehicle, but you have to read the fine print. And remember, we are here to support the auto industry. We're not saying don't buy a new car. All we're saying is just be careful on your loan documents. Make sure that you know exactly the term of the loan. Make sure that they don't add things that you did not request. Make sure if you sign up for a warranty, make sure that you have a valid warranty and how much that's going to cost you and how is it going to help you. These 72, 84 month loans, that's a long time to be making these payments. And unfortunately, with the pricing of the new cars, I believe, and I hope I'm wrong, but I believe you're going to be underwater by the third year of making payments. The value of the car is going to be lower than the balance on your loan. So just make sure, don't get carried away with vehicles that you do not need. Make sure you can control yourself and think, for my family, even if you're buying a sports car, what sport car do I really need? And have that measure to be, hey, I have to be within my limits, because this loan crisis within the car industry is going to affect everyone. And I hope we can sort of ride this wave that is going to last only for a year or two. But let's make sure that we don't get in debt that we don't need. Michelle.
Yeah. My thought on that is while you're shopping, also take a look at certified pre-owned and look for financing that's outside of conventional avenues. If you have a credit union, ask your credit union to evaluate your situation and they might be able to give you a loan for a much better rate and term. And that's always something that is helpful. I mean, like a lot of people who work, for example, for Disneyland, they have a wonderful credit union for all those employees. And my daughter was one of them. That's how I know. But that's the way to go. Don't just go for the first thing that's pitched to you at the dealership.
Yeah, teachers as well. You know, teachers' credit unions are very good. And it's quite understandable if you do not have the best credit. We understand that, but then you need to shop around, because unfortunately for personal loans, buying a car is basically it's a personal loan. There are many, many options, and you have banks, you have credit unions, you have private finance companies, and that's when you have to be careful just to make sure that you select. My advice has been always make sure you have already a pre-approval before you start shopping for the car.
Yes.
You roughly know what you're going to spend, what you can afford. So if you said, okay, fine, I'm looking for a $40,000 car, get a loan for $40,000, and now that you have that approval and you are okay with those numbers, now you can buy it with a car. Don't do the opposite. Don't buy the car and then realize that, my financing didn't go through. I have to go to plan C and my interest now is 29% a month. Forget it. You don't want that. So be careful.
Also, right. One of the things that's so great too about the internet is you can shop now. You don't have to go into a dealership blind and you can see, I need a $45,000 loan or a $55,000 loan. But yeah, don't get in over your head. Don't start your life out like that. Yikes. Just don't. It's not fun.
Yep. If you're starting, if this is going to be your first car, there are a lot of used cars that are very good deals. So be patient. Something that I noticed, Michelle, when I was looking at, what are the best used cars? My son actually had to change his car. So we were kind of shopping around. And I suggested it buy a used car. There are plenty of used cars that are low miles. So they have 30,000 miles, 40,000 miles. And we know these cars are going to last for 200,000 without problems. Now, when you start looking at these, now you realize that the resale value is the key. And there's a lot of cars that the resale value is very high. And that is, here is a tip. If a car has a higher resale value, there is a reason. That means there's more demand, and probably the demand comes because these cars are more reliable. So very quickly, I can tell you, you cannot go wrong with any of these brands that I'm going to mention, and I'm not trying to favor either one. So it's not going to be an alphabetical order, but pretty much with a Toyota, a Honda, Subaru, Mazda, Kia, Hyundai, if you're going to go on the premiums, Lexus, Acura, you're not going to go wrong. What happened to the legacy automakers? I think Buick is doing a good job. Some Chevrolets are also pretty good. Their Ford and pickup trucks are always good. There are options out there. So open the box, think of what other options are. If you don't want to sign up to one of these 72 or 84 month loans.
Yeah. All right. I think we educated everybody.
Yeah. Do you know what's going on now that. With Volkswagen and this lawsuit? Is it fair that the dealers are suing the manufacturer?
Oh, that's unusual. Wow. You don't get that too often, do you? Where the dealers are suing the OEM. Wow.
It all starts with because of the cost of repairs are going higher and higher and higher. But it's not the dealer fault. I mean, I was a dealer, so I understand. If the parts cost is going up and I can't find mechanics, so I have to increase my labor pay to find good mechanics, then obviously everything is going to go up. But I think what happened here is that some states were charging more than other states for their warranty work, and they were getting paid. So, and I think that's really something that may not be right. I think all dealers everywhere in the United States should get paid exactly the same for warranty work. So time will tell. Do you have any insights on that type of lawsuits, Michelle?
I really don't. Typically, these are filed in federal court because anytime you have interstate commerce, that's a federal court issue. And especially if it's multi-state dealerships, they have to go to federal court. These things usually resolve pretty quickly. And I'm surprised that this was filed a couple of years ago, almost 2 years ago, and it should be resolved already.
I've noticed
federal
that
court, they don't mess around. So
yeah. I noticed that the rate, the labor rate for dealerships is going up, is higher. I mean, a lot of places, almost $200 an hour. Something that I've noticed as well is that cars are not being repaired anymore. And I have to speak from experience. This happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I had a truck at a dealership and they tell me that this is wrong. They show me the diagnosis and I says, hey, why don't you change this sensor? Why don't you change this filter? And they told me, we don't do that anymore. We change the whole component. We don't go specifically into changing a sensor. And I go, wait a minute. There's a difference of $6,000 between changing the sensor and changing the whole component of this thing. So it's like, well, you can take it somewhere else. I was very, very surprised. I called a couple of dealers of the same brand, and they all pretty much told me the same. We do not fix it. We change the whole componentry. So that's something else that is adding to the cost. And I can understand why insurance companies are leaving the state of California.
Well, that's one reason.
If the cost of repair cars in California is double than what your repair bill is going to be in Arizona, I think the insurance company doesn't have to think too much about, you know what, maybe we don't need to fix cars in California.
No, the actuaries don't like those kinds of losses. So, yeah. Ugh.
Especially body shops.
That's not good.
That's what I've noticed. A lot of cars being totaled when in reality they can be fixed. And visually I can see, hey, this car is fixable.
Yes. But,
yes, Michelle.
Oh, I've seen this too. Yeah, the same thing, because I work in looking at estimates all the time. And I'm always surprised with the newer cases we get, that they are quickly totaling cars that do not need to be totaled. You'll look at the photo and you'll think, oh, they, just fix the bumper and replace the headlamps and you're good, right? And no, they total it.
Michelle, do you know the implications when a car is totaled by the insurance company? Now, does automatically the title, now it's going to be a salvage title?
No, because if you want to keep the car, you can just tell them you're not going to, you'll take the money and you'll fix it yourself. Whatever, say like they're agreeing to total it, but it's only a $12,000. They'll give you the $12,000 and you can keep the car. You don't have to go to salvage. Yeah.
Okay.
Something that a lot of people don't realize is it's not a one-way street. You can say, okay, fine, you guys would total it, but I want to keep it. So write me a check.
Now, what happens if you buy a car with a salvage title? Is that advisable?
No, I never advise people to do that.
Why?
Hard to get registered. It's basically a car that has been not only wrecked so bad that you don't know what little things might be wrong with it, and you're probably buying a lemon. It's so risky, but then there's the title problem, getting it registered. It's a mess with the DMV.
Okay, so you hear it from an attorney. If you see a salvage title vehicle, stay away. My experience, I have to say, I told a friend, do not purchase this vehicle. Something is not right. It cannot be that a car is a $100,000 car. They're selling it to you for $30,000. Something is wrong. And what was wrong, after he purchased the car against my advice, that car was in a flood in Florida, and they have flipped the title to another state. So he had all kinds of electrical problems because the car was underwater. They did a great job cleaning the vehicle. But
Those flood cars, unfortunately, they do end up on the market. And you really have to go and get your Carfax before you buy a car like that. You're not going to be told, oh, yeah, it was in a flood in Texas. Or in Florida, your friend found out the hard way, but that's the electrical stuff is just the tip of the iceberg with a flood car.
That's right. That's right.
You're going to have all kinds of problems. So yeah.
On a good news, Buick. Now, the brand's flagship vehicle, which is the Enclave, which is a large crossover. I like it. Actually, it's very, very nice. Very reliable as well. It's one of the best values out there today, I think. Is redesigning the 2025 model, but it's something that started a long time ago and made me think. As I was reading this information from Buick themselves, they said they started 18 months ago working on this new subcompact. It was going to be the Encore GX. But I go like, wait a minute, 18 months? Are we still taking this long on cars with all the computers and all that? I see some automakers being able to like do things very, very quick. Regardless, Buick is doing a pretty good job. I like the Enclave, and this new Encore GX, I'm sure, is being developed for the Chinese market. It's the perfect size, and Buick is still considered a premium brand. in China. And I have to say, if it wasn't for Buick sales in China, we would not have Buick anymore.
Wow. Well, Buick is a good brand. I think it's one of the parts of GM that deserves some applause because they do bring it. I've gone on several launches and test drives with Buicks over the years and always very impressed with how they are. They don't feel like an American car. They really don't.
That's by design, because they're developing these cars for the Chinese market, for the European market, and they know what these customers want. They want a different feeling, a different ambience, and Buick is delivering. So take a look at those cars when you're shopping.
Yeah, I do see a fair number of them in the wild here in Orange County. So, and we do have a large Asian population, so maybe that's why.
Maybe. Now, right. talking about Asian, not population, but Asian cars, and by request, someone says, hey, how come you guys don't talk about Acura? What do you mean we don't talk about Acura? We mention all the time. But today we're going to be very specific, because Michelle has driven one Acura, yeah. And I've driven another one. The sales of Acura are really going very well. Almost 150,000 cars sold last year. SUVs are the mainstay. The Integra also is selling very well, which, it's the four-door smaller sedan that came out a couple of years ago, sort of a sporty version. The MDX is their hot seller, sells almost 60,000 units a year. The RDX is the SUV that is a little bit smaller and is also selling around 40,000. And Acura's, passenger cars, it's been almost 50,000, which is the best since 2016. So it's a company that is doing something right. And perhaps, Michelle, you can tell me what is right with this new Acura TLX you drove.
All right. So they gave me a 2024 and let me know that this is a 2024 model year, but that for 2025, they're already on the market, the Acura TLX, and there's no changes year to year from 2024 to 2025. They wanted me to get that out right away, that the big change and refresh year was model year 2024. So he said everything that I see in the one I test drove will carry over to 2025. So this is a 5-person passenger sedan, and it's in the luxury segment. And I like to call it a sports sedan, right? Because this is one of the sedans that can compete with like a BMW 3 Series or one of the smaller Audis. And it's sporty, it's nimble, and yet it's a great commuter car. And you can fit your kids in the back and all that, all the good tech. So this one I had was a Type S. It came in a custom color they charge extra for, called Urban Gray Pearl, and it had black accents, and it came with 20-inch wheels with copper inlay in the wheels. Very fancy and very pretty all put together. The 2024 changes were the diamond pentagon design grille in the front, the new rim design, and some new standard tech with a larger 12.5-inch screen. And for this model year, this is the first year they had integrated the Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. They also have a built-in Alexa. And there's a head-up display. This is all standard. They've retuned the sport mode, but they call it Sport Plus mode. So it's tuned to be more responsive. It's a 10-speed transmission. The Type S, as tested, is a 3.0 liter V6 paired to that 10-speed automatic. And the horsepower on it is 355, which for a commuter car and city car is just perfect, I think. And I had the premium paint, and came with Pirelli P0s, summer tires. which that package is an extra $3,000. And mine came out, the pricing as tested was $63,000. But they start in the 50s. And there's three different trim levels available. The lower package is called the technology package, and that starts at 46. And then there's the A-spec, and that starts at 52. It's got a nice drive. I felt that, you know, for me, I thought that the suspension was too stiff. And I tested it on the 91 freeway. Because why? Because it has a ton of bumps.
More than the 710?
Yeah.
The 710 is an off-road test in automotive terms, in automotive journalist terms in Los Angeles.
Right.
If you need to go to off-road, you go to the 710 freeway.
There you go. So I'm on the 91 and I'm in normal mode and I go, uh-oh, because I'm bouncing a lot. So I switched to comfort mode and it did smooth it out. I found that when I drove on the way back, that comfort mode was a must on that kind of off-road that's actually a freeway. And so I liked that. And I did find that there was a little more road noise than I would expect with the windows up and everything turned off. But they did say in the press release that they improved the cabin noise for 2024. So there's that. The Type S that I had came with red seats, leather trim, very nice inside, very comfortable. The thing that's also new for 2024, a lot of seat adjustments. You can fix the side wings. You can fix the length of the seat if you want it to extend out a little bit more. And of course, you have lumbar support, all with a little touch of the buttons on the side of the driver's seat. Must for this kind of car to make it super comfortable for you so that you're not wiggling around a lot when you're in the curves. This thing does great in curves. I love the handling, and it was wonderful. Now, as far as MPGs, if you're worried about that, the Type S is rated at 19 city and 25 highway, and I got high 20s without really trying very hard.
It's a nice car. It's a very comfortable car, and definitely the S series. We know it's for sports, which means given that sportiness, and we know that Honda and Acura both are involved in motorsports. So we need to see a little bit of the DNA coming into the cars. I am sad that the NSX is gone. 2023 was the last year, and they only sold, I think, like a handful of cars. I think it was less than 10 cars that they sold the whole year, which has always been a shame. Somehow the NSX has not been accepted as an exotic, as a could be a Ferrari or a McLaren, even though the performance is on par. But still, it's one of those things that sometimes is hard to understand. But at that level, emotions, passion are not easily conquered by manufacturers. Now, I had the opportunity to drive the SUV version of what you drove, which is the Acura MDX, a family car with three rows of seats, very capable, very, you know, a premium feeling all throughout. I love the seats. I love the interior upholstery. I think they both share the same type of inlays and the stitching. I drove several of those vehicles. If I had to choose one, interior will be sort of the cream color interior with blue. I really like that. The red also stands out. Very comfortable, very plush. I do agree with you that I did find it a little bit noisy when I'm comparing it with other premium vehicles. But that's something that, hey, if you have a good stereo, you may forget about that. But let's talk about the mechanicals. The MDX comes with two engines. It has 290 horsepower out of a 3.5-liter V6, capable of 267, 268 foot-pound of torque, which is pretty capable. Now, there's also a Type S, as you have on the Acura TLX. You have a tech spec, an A spec, and an S specs for the MDX as well. Now, the MDX S spec, that's a serious performer. You're talking about just the same 355 horsepower from the turbocharged engine, 350 pound of torque, coupled to a 10th speed automatic transmission that work miracles. It's interesting because this transmission, you can tell that it serves a double role. One is performance, and the other one is saving mileage. So first, second, third, fourth gear, the car is a rocket. Once you get to sixth gear, all of a sudden you get to 10th gear and the car is idling and you're going 65 miles an hour on the freeway. So it's very interesting how they can program these transmissions today to get the most out of that engine. Now, what I did notice on the MDX is that the S version has some suspension improvements, basically the control arms, the front and rear multi-link setup that makes the car handle a lot better. And you feel like you're driving a car. You for a second you forget you're in a SUV family car. It handles very, very well. The standard MDX is front wheel drive. The MDX S is all wheel drive. It includes what they call torque vectoring, a torque vectoring system that can send up to 70% of the torque to the rear wheels. So it's almost like you can feel the traction coming, pushing you from the back. So that's really nice. Something that I enjoy is once you get going a little faster, you need to slow down. And the MDX comes with 14.3-inch rotors and four-piston Brembo calipers. Brembo, we know, are sport type brakes that they use a lot in the race cars. And when you see these Brembo brakes on an MDX, you go, wait a minute. Who is driving this car? I'm sure there's some dads are pretty happy to when the kids are not in the car, he can press accelerator a little bit more. The brake system is very sophisticated. It uses what Acura calls an electro-servo brake by wire, and it also uses an iBooster, so electrically can assist the pedal so you don't have to press too hard. Automatically it's adjusted so you don't lose the grip on the brake, but you don't have to force your leg in pressing harder. So that's a very interesting. Also, this car, and I believe the one you drove has the same. I think they come up with what they call the Acura Watch, which has a front camera mounted on the new grills that gives it a different look, a whole new array of assistance to the driver. It also has a lane change assist that can help you move from one lane to multi-lane highways without you having to steer the car. You just put the turn signal and the car changes lanes for yourself. It's scanning all your surroundings so it knows that it's safe. The proximity with the other cars is being measured by a LiDAR. So and you can enjoy this huge 12.3-inch touchscreen that is mounted on your dash, and it pretty much controls your whole infotainment system. Just like the car, it's integrated. It has a Google built in, which is great. If you're used to the Google products, it works very, very well. But also, you can connect it to Apple CarPlay and the Android Auto. So regardless of the system that you're using, the car will adapt to yourself. Something that I found interesting, Michelle, is that the Type S, we know it's a sporty car. It feels firm, but you can adjust the suspension a little bit. You have different settings. So you have four different settings on this car. So you can leave it on normal, and it will be the best setting for every day. What impressed me is this audio system. Bang Olufsen with no more than 31 speakers.
Wow.
I asked the engineers, where are the speakers? Where did you put 31 speakers? Yeah. That's a lot of speakers on a car. I don't know if you need them or not. Sure, it sounds great. But I always think sometimes when you get so many components, do we need 31 speakers? I don't know. Maybe you do. It is an option. It sounds great, but I was just surprised. The whole engineering that has to go behind the installation of these 31 speakers, and also the sound engineers have to play and you know, you have all these waves coming inside the car in all different directions, different surfaces. So to get the right sound, I'm sure it was not easy.
Right. But Bang & Olufsen is a wonderful sound system.
Yes, very, very good. So the MDX is what I call a premium vehicle. So, of course, once you mention premium, it does have a premium feel, but also a premium cost. The MDX starts at $52,000 plus delivery charges and taxes and license. The front wheel drive, that's for the front wheel drive. And then the MDX, I checked on the MDX Type S, and it can get to $76,000-$77,000. I thought, it makes me think about it. There's a lot of cars at the $70,000 mark. And in California, if we have tax on license, we'll be over $80,000. It is already a premium vehicle, so you have the luxury tax as well, which a lot of people forget, but that's still being charged. So I love the interior of this car. The exterior has not changed a lot, but it's improved. I love the seats, and I thought it was a great performer. The price is my only question, but definitely there is a market. They sell very well, and we have to, I think Michelle and I both agree that it's still, actually, it's a premium vehicle in all the good sense of the word.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's also a 2-year care package that comes with any Acura. And so that does help on the cost of maintenance for the first 2 years.
That's for sure.
To remember. Yeah. And these are good for resale. If you wanted to hang on to it, sell it around, 50 or 70,000 miles, you'd probably do just fine.
Yes. Acura, it doesn't matter which model is, they have a very high resale. And as we mentioned before, vehicles with high resale usually tend to be pretty good and reliable cars. Michelle, unfortunately, we are running out of time.
Oh, well, that went fast. All right. Well, so Mark will be back next week, as will both of us. And we hope that you'll give us a like and a follow. And if you'd like to give us a message about a car issue or car question that we could address on the show, go ahead. Go to our Facebook page, The Car Show, on KPFK 90.7 FM.
And don't forget, make a donation. KPFK has been in our community for over 50 years, and The Car Show has been on the air almost since the beginning. So we can only be here with your contributions. These are donations. You can use that also as a tax deduction, if you will. So it doesn't matter how small or big your donation is. You can go straight to the radio station website, and they can, or you can call. Do you have the number handy by
chance?
Well,
I do, actually. It's well, the website, first of all, is kpfk.org. The phone number to donate is area code 818-985-5735.
Thank you very much for listening to us. We want to hear your comments. If you have a question about a particular car, please, as Michelle mentioned, send us a message through Facebook. Michelle, it will be until next week.
All right, Ricardo, we'll see you all next week. Thank you.
To the jive, we got a big piano that is grand and the best orchestra in the land.
Support comes from the Luckman Fine Arts Complex, presenting Michael Feinstein in Because of You, My Tribute to Tony Bennett, featuring the Carnegie Hall Ensemble and the Luckman Jazz Orchestra. Michael Feinstein infuses big band celebrations in this heartfelt tribute to the legendary Tony Bennett, bringing his most iconic songs to life in a symphony of sound. Friday, October 4th at 8 p.m., Tickets and info available at theluckman.org and kpfk.org.
DJ Namde from Radio Aphrodisia. Join us every Saturday as we nice up your weekend. It's all about music from Africa and the African world. Radio Aphrodisia, 4 to 6 p.m. It's Champeta Criolla from the coast of Caribbean, Soca Calypso, Juju Music, Musica Afro-Cubana, Cha-Cha.